Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. The majority of doctors in this country still record your every visit with a pen and paper. But President Obama says it's time for a change. It's time to move our healthcare system into the digital age. In January at George Mason University, President Obama touted his plan to digitize all medical records by 2014.
This will cut waste, eliminate red tape, and reduce the need to repeat expensive medical tests. But it just won't save billions of dollars and thousands of jobs. It will save lives.
Naysayers say electronic health records won't actually save money and probably won't save lives. And what about our privacy? This hour On Point, the push for electronic medical records. You can join the conversation. Are you concerned or excited that we're moving away from paper-based medical records? Does your doctor already use an electronic system? What do you think? A little later in this hour, we'll hear from two doctors, one who's already made the electronic switch and the other who's concerned about patient rights and privacy. But first, joining me in the studio, Ashish Jha. He's professor of medicine and associate professor of health policy and management at Harvard Medical School and the School of Public Health. He's also a staff physician at the Boston VA and Brigham and Women's Hospital. He's the lead author of the articles Use of Electronic Health Records in U.S. Hospitals, which appears in the April 16th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. Dr. Jha, welcome to On Point.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, help us understand first out of the gate here what a fully computerized electronic medical record system might look like.
Sure. So, as you might imagine, it looks a little different in a doctor's office than it does in a hospital. But in the hospital, for instance, all the physician notes, the nurse's notes, all of that is being written electronically in a computer system. They're looking at results from laboratory and x-rays, all of that electronically. One of the most important things is that doctors are prescribing electronically. And we know that there are large numbers of medication errors, other types of errors that occur in the paper-based system, and computers really are terrific at eliminating those.
So electronic medical records, essentially a computer-based system, you're saying, that holds every patient's clinical history, lab results, treatments. Help us understand, practically speaking, why that's beneficial. What's good about that?
Sure. So we know right now, if you take a step back and look at the American healthcare system, we spend $2.2 trillion, which is an unbelievable amount of money on healthcare. Despite that, 50 million Americans are uninsured. And we know that as many as 50 or even 100,000 Americans might die every year due to medical errors. And a lot of those errors are preventable. And there is very good evidence that computerized records, if done right, and that's the caveat, but if done right, can have a profound impact on reducing medical errors and helping doctors and nurses practice better medicine.
So preventing medical errors, there's also real benefits to physicians and nurses being able to access patient information on a single site.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's part of how you reduce errors. One way is, you know, the handwriting just becomes legible. People can actually understand what the heck the doctor was writing. But the other part, of course, is that as a practicing clinician, when I'm taking care of a patient, it's very helpful to know their background, know what other medicines they've been on, know what medicines they're allergic to. That kind of information is often not available to me when I practice in a paper-based system.
Also to avoid redundant testing.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's one of the places where we think we're going to save some money. Tests are done and repeated over and over again, often because the results are not available when clinicians need them.
The Obama administration says online health records would save $80 billion a year. Do you think that's an accurate assessment?
I think that's a generous estimate. I think there is some evidence that the savings could be as big as that. But there's also there are also other studies that say that the savings are going to be much smaller or non-existent. So, sure, I hope we save $80 billion a year, but I'm not convinced that's going to happen.
Let's talk about some of the concerns about electronic health records. A new poll by NPR and the Kaiser Family Foundation, the Harvard School of Public Health, shows support is mixed among Americans. The majority of Americans say if records were computerized that their own doctor would likely do a better job of coordinating their care, that overall quality of medical care in this country would be improved, that there would be fewer medical records about which you're speaking. But the poll also showed that most people expect to see costs go up, not down, and that Americans doubt that their records would remain confidential. 76% of Americans said it's likely that at some point an unauthorized person would get access to records placed online. Will you talk about these very, very real privacy concerns and how you protect a patient's privacy?
Yeah, no, this is absolutely a critical issue, and we have to get this part right. I think there's good evidence to believe that there's going to be real benefit for patients and for the healthcare system if we digitize records. But the privacy concerns are real. It's something we have to focus on. I actually believe that the technology exists, that we can do it pretty well. I think there's one other context to understand here, which is that anybody who thinks paper-based records are somehow private and secure is really not doesn't understand where things stand today. So right now, there are unauthorized looks at paper records all the time. I don't want to say it's an epidemic, but it clearly happens, and we have no ability to track it. We have no ability to even understand how big a problem that is.
So patients are actually more vulnerable with paper records.
No doubt about it. In my mind, it's clear that, you know, that the current system leaves patients very, very vulnerable. The electronic system at least helps you track who looked at paper, who looked at the records, and can help you at least track down people who did it in an unauthorized way.
Dr. Jerome Groopman, whom you know from the Harvard Medical School, wrote an op-ed piece for the Wall Street Journal, very critical of electronic health records. He expresses concern that a national electronic medical database could be mined for research purposes to assess cost effectiveness of different treatments, and then that analysis would be used to dictate, for example, which drugs or devices doctors could provide to patients in federally funded programs like Medicare. I mean, does that kind of thing concern you?
It actually doesn't, and let me tell you why. First of all, I actually think research to try to understand which treatments are effective and which treatments are not effective is a good thing. It will actually let us provide better care. There is a lot of things that I do as a practicing doctor for which there is no evidence. No one has studied it. There's no motivation for anybody to do those studies. If somebody could pull together clinical data in a de-identified, in a very privatized way, so we're not looking at individual patients' information, and help me understand which treatments are effective, which treatments are likely to lead to bad outcomes for my patients, that's really useful information. So I think there's this fear that somehow it's going to force doctors to practice based on governmental guidelines. I'm not worried about that.
Well, what about this other concern about this data mining by insurance companies or pharmaceutical companies or potential employers, research groups? Privacy advocates worry that companies could actually legally sell medical records under prescribed plan that we're hearing about. How do you stop that?
Right. So first of all, you clearly need laws to do certain types of things. First of all, you have to make sure that there's no identifiable information. So individual patients can't get identified. If you have a database that's completely de-identified, you don't have any information about individual patients, I think that's better. And I actually think that, again, this stuff should be available to researchers if they're doing it for the purpose of trying to make care better. You know, there are a lot of rules on the books, and I think that laws are clearly needed to ensure that employers, other people, don't have unauthorized access to this information.
Dr. Groopman also cites in this Wall Street Journal piece several premier journals in response to the argument about the quality of care, mm-hmm. and that electronic medical records would increase that quality of care. He cites premier cardiology journal research from Brigham and Women's here in Boston, the Harvard Medical School. They all concluded that electronic medical records were not associated necessarily with better quality of care, as President Obama has put forth.
Yeah.
What's your response to that?
Well, you know, I think there are really two sides of this, and I think what Dr. Groopman is doing is picking one set of information, one set of data, and promoting that. There are people who believe that just by putting in electronic records, you're going to transform the healthcare system and make care terrific for everyone. I think they're overselling it. I think what Dr. Groopman is doing is looking at the evidence, selectively picking out the studies that show that the benefits aren't going to be that great, and highlighting those. The reality is that the evidence here is mixed. There's some evidence that suggests that quality is going to get better, other evidence that says that quality may not be impacted. And I think the truth is that if we just put in an electronic record system and do nothing else for our healthcare system, we're probably not going to get big benefits. But at the same time, as I outlined earlier, I think our healthcare system today is broken. It's expensive, the quality is inappropriate, and we can't fix it based on paper records alone. So it's part of a broader fix.
So beyond the benefits and some of the other things that you've been describing, what's in this for the patient? We've heard a lot about the doctors and the hospitals. Yep. What's in this for me, for the patient? How will I see a difference with electronic medical records?
Right. Well, I actually think the NPR poll is terrific in the sense that Americans understand some of the benefits of it. They understand that the care that they get will be better when they go to see a specialist. The specialist will actually have access to the information about what their primary care physician has been doing. If we really do this right, if they go to the emergency room physician will be able to find out what medicine the patient is on. Those things are going to all lead to much, much better care, better coordination of care. And then I actually think patients should have access to this information. So far, medical records have been something that I, as a doctor, use, but patients have not really had access to it. And I think that's unacceptable. I think patients should have access to their own medical records. They should be able to see everything that I see. And I think it allows them to be much more engaged with their health care than they are today.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clay, sitting for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the big push to digitize America's health records. A little bit later, we'll hear from a doctor who is concerned about the move to e-health records. But right now, I'm joined by Ashish Jha, Associate Professor of Health Policy and Management at Harvard School of Public Health. He's also a staff physician at the Boston VA and Brigham and Women's Hospital here in Boston. I'd like to bring another voice into the conversation now from central Kansas, Plainville, Kansas. I'm joined by Jennifer Brule. She's a family physician. She's got a solo practice. About a year ago, she switched her 3,000-patient practice from paper to electronic medical records. Dr. Brule, welcome to On Point.
Thanks for having me, Jane.
What's been your experience with electronic medical records?
I'm in that probably fortunate minority that had a wonderful transitional experience with electronic medical records. And I actually was talking to my staff yesterday and telling them that I was going to be on this show. And I said, you know, does anybody regret it? And 201, in fact, the oldest staff member we have said, you know, I'm the oldest person here, and I was a little bit hesitant when you said I was going to have to work on a computer all day, but I would never, ever want to go back. So we've had a very positive experience.
And what's so positive about it? Why has it been so good?
I think there are a myriad of reasons. Everything from we don't have to look at stacks of paper charts falling over off the desk, which is probably seems like a small reason, but if you've ever had to hunt through a stack of 50 charts to find the one you're looking for, you'll understand that relief when you can just click a button and find the right chart. To the fact that, you know, for me, I have access to my patient's information through a secure tunnel no matter where I go, as long as I can get access to the Internet. And so if a patient has a question and they call me at home, I live in rural Kansas and my patients do sometimes call me at home, I can get to their information. I know their drug allergies. I know their current medication list. And I can answer that question with confidence and not just from my memory of what happened to be back in the paper chart in the office.
What about that secure tunnel, though? Is it really secure, doctor? Can other entities get into it, too?
We have a very secure multiple firewalled. It's called and I'm not the IT person, but it's a VPN tunnel which requires 3 passwords to get through. The 3 passwords are all different, and they're all different for each person. And the only people who are allowed to access off-site are the physicians. So, I would say, you know, could someone who wanted to break into a health record do that? I think anybody can do anything if they want to, but, you know, my personal health information is contained within the same system, and I certainly feel confident about the security. And part of that is simply because I'm not sure that most people want to know, I mean, would want to go to as much trouble as it would take to know private information about me or my family, whose information is also in there. So perhaps it's an effort issue more than anything else.
What about the argument or concern that once information is inserted electronically, it's very hard to remove?
As far as erroneous information?
Yes.
You know, our system allows us to document errors in for instance, if someone incorrectly enters that a patient has diabetes, and it's happened. I mean, it certainly someone looks at a paper chart and it says family history of diabetes, and that person enters it into the electric chart accidentally as a personal history of diabetes, our system allows us to not delete that information, but to mark it as erroneous, and the reason that it's erroneous. So, for instance, you would take the diabetes off of that person's problem list and just say it was documented in error. And so, you know, there are safeguards within the system that allow us to make sure that the information, if a patient says, well, that's not true about me, or things like that, we can mark that information as erroneous.
So what's been the associated cost with moving all of your paper records to an electronic form?
The largest cost was last year, which is when we purchased the system, purchased the computers, purchased the server, did the networking, all of those things. And I spent between $50,000 and $60,000 for my portion of that, which is, you know, a pretty good chunk. I will spend less than $5,000 in this year, in 2009, to maintain the system that we have put into place. And I will definitely recoup the $5,000. I have no doubt that the ongoing costs will be easily made up in a myriad of ways that the electronic health record saves us. I think it will probably take me 5 to 10 years to make up the initial cost, although last year was a really good year, and so some of that has already been made up. I don't know how much of it to attribute to being electronic and how much of it was just the year, but I think over 5 to 10 years I'll recoup my initial startup cost.
Well, Dr. Brule, Dr. Jha, let's bring some callers into this conversation at this point. First up is in Westchester, New York, Ron on the line. Ron, welcome to On Point.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi, fine. Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm very much opposed to digitizing the office. I think it's a stimulus package for the computer industry. I don't think it's a stimulus package where it's going to save costs at all. Most of the reason that people in private practice go and put in a computerized record is so that with just one push of a button, they can generate a complete digitalized record that makes a number two visit into a number five visit, and you get reimbursed higher. The other thing is that the system, like the other doctor was saying, they cost $50,000, $60,000. Well, 2 years from now, when her system's obsolete, as our billing system went obsolete, she's going to have to redo that same investment again and again and again, which is the nature of computerization. The other problem is in hospitals. My hospital went completely to digitized order entry.
You're a physician?
Yes, I'm a physician. I'm a doctor. I'm in practice, in private practice. And I found that we had tremendous number of errors because the system has, like all systems, has quirks. It would kick out kick out essential orders. And if you happen to hit a button twice, the patient got the same test, not once, but twice instead of once. And since you can't look at multiple pages at the same time on a computer, what happens is you don't know what somebody else has done, and you don't know what a test has done, and then you're ordering it again, and things are being duplicated. I think it's going to markedly increase costs.
And Dr. Ron, I hear all those points, and they're really good ones. Let's get to a couple of them here, Dr. Jha. What do you make of it? First of all, the error point,
right,
which goes precisely against some of the things we were talking about earlier.
Sure. No, I think the caller brings up several important and legitimate points about the fact that if you do a bad job of installing an electronic record, if you have a system that's error-prone, can you actually make things worse? Absolutely. And there are good examples of that from certain hospitals that put in electronic records that actually created more errors. So there's no doubt that you can do this badly. Speaking to his point about the obsolescence, and in 2 years, Dr. Brule is going to have to do this again. No, she won't actually, because the bottom line is she's done the hardest part of this, which is the transformation from paper to electronic. Even if she has to switch to a different vendor, which hopefully she will not have to, a lot of the hard work has already been done. And I do think that, you know, that sort of to blow this off as purely just a stimulus bill for the computer industry is unfair. First of all, this has been something that's been on the policy agenda for about good 5-6 years. President Bush first really launched it, and then President Obama has really embraced it. And there is very, very good evidence that it's going to make clinical care better if we do it right.
Well, there's one big system who's already switched to computerized records, and that's the Kaiser system. Dr. Jha, talk about that, because they've had mixed results, spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this.
Right.
And in many ways, it's not worked so well.
Right. The Kaiser system is a great example of how hard it is to do this right. They've had multiple starts. They had different regions, Southern California, Northern California, Hawaii. They all tried different approaches. And a few years ago, they basically did a reboot. They said, we're going to have to do this all over again and essentially a single effort across the whole country. And a lot of their initial investments were wasted. But my sense is that they've now pretty much gotten it across the entire Kaiser healthcare system across the country. And there's now very good evidence emerging that it's made a really nice impact in terms of the quality of care as well as the efficiency of care, not just from the doctor's perspective, but also from the patient's perspective.
So initially some pains, but it seems to be somewhat working. Is that your message?
I think it is working. My best sense is that it's working pretty well, but it was not an easy path.
Here's another call from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Ray is on the line. Ray, thank you for waiting. Welcome to On Point.
Thank you, Jane. It's a wonderful program.
Thank you.
We experienced, my wife and I, experienced electronic medical records at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that it's extremely beneficial. It's extremely quick. Typically, if you go to a doctor in a city, which would be a specialist gastroenterologist, guy. And he referred you to another doctor. You would have to get all your records and send them over, and the next week you would have an appointment, maybe, if he has an opening.
Mm-hmm.
With Rochester, if you go to and you are interviewed, and you go 2 hours later to a different building and a different floor, and you're in line.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
This is extremely important for critically ill patients.
I hear it. So, it's a really good point. Dr. Brule, let me bring that up with you. What's been the response from your patients to your electronic medical record system?
Yeah, Jane, our patients have actually been very interested in what we're doing and very supportive. I haven't had anybody in my practice, and again, it's a different population in the big city, but I haven't had anybody express concerns over privacy. Most people are very happy that I can check their records from wherever and that I can know that information. And you talk about the difference between what the first caller experienced and then what the second caller experienced as a patient. And I think that a lot of what electronic records are is there's a tremendous learning curve. And for the first 3 to 6 months, it took us a lot longer to do the same things that we did on paper. That idea of finding where something is in the electronic chart. But now that we're very familiar with our system, and both my clinic and my hospital are computerized different systems, but being able to find it quickly now means that I can move much faster through something. And having that information at my fingertips, if I'm in the room and I'm looking for a document that the patient says, well, I had that lab drawn this morning, and I can immediately in their chart go to that place, and boom, it's there. I don't have to go up to the front and say, did the lab drop that off, or have you seen this? Can you call the lab? It just comes directly in. And so my experience and my patient's experience has been that having that at your fingertips is good, and that once you get used to the idea of how to turn the pages, so to speak, in an electronic record, it becomes much, much faster and much easier than with that old paper chart where something might be in filing waiting to get into the chart, and something may be on your nurse's desk that hasn't gotten put into the chart, or something may still be at the lab that hasn't been sent over. So I think positive for me.
Dr. Jha, let me go back to one aspect of this and the practicalities of different systems working together. A hospital system, a clinic system, a doctor's office system, all these computer systems speaking to one another and working together. Do you see a problem there?
Oh, huge issues here. You know, this is really a major challenge for us as a country. First of all, I think there are two challenges. First is just getting the records digitized. But then the second challenge is actually being able to share the information in a secure and confidential way so that patients' and clinical information follows them wherever they go. Very, very few places have been able to pull that off. Most of these systems don't talk to each other. And this is actually a classic market failure, and this is a classic place where I think the government has to play a role in setting standards, setting rules around data sharing, setting rules around authentication to make sure that you don't have unauthorized access. And there are a lot of efforts ongoing in this, but we haven't made a lot of progress. And as David Blumenthal was just named the health IT czar for the country by President Obama, and Dr. Blumenthal has his job cut out for him in terms of figuring out how to get information shared.
That sounds like a lot of government involvement, a lot of government responsibility, really.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, there are some people, I mean, there's actually, it's interesting, because there's some people who say, and interestingly enough, I actually heard Newt Gingrich say, shockingly, that the government should just mandate a single system and get the entire country digitized on the same system. So there's that level of involvement. I actually am not sure that's right. But the flip side is the government does have to play some role in ensuring that standards are set.
Let's go to one more call before our next break. Franklin is on the line from Newton, Massachusetts. Hi, Franklin. Welcome.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Yeah, my family and I were lucky enough to live in Finland for 2 years. And as you might imagine, Finland is way ahead of the U.S. in lots of infrastructure areas. You know, the cell phones always work, for example. But medical records, they're being computerized, was at first really disconcerting, mm-hmm. having the doctor typing into her computer while I was, you know, working, sitting with her. Mm-hmm. It was odd, but then being able to grab that sheet of paper maybe, go downtown to another clinic, and they would just pull it up instantly was a really great experience. And it just seemed like things flowed painlessly.
Was there ever any downside for you, Franklin? Was there a downside? Did you worry about privacy or any other issues?
You know, I think that we face a world where those privacy concerns are everywhere, and we have to deal with them everywhere. If you look at it from another perspective, people didn't want cell phones. A lot of people didn't want cell phones 10 years ago. Who doesn't have one today? Can you imagine a world in 30 years where we're not on electronic records? I can't. So it's really not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And doing it well and doing it right and doing it soon is going to have to save us money in the long run, it seems to me.
Franklin, thank you. Have other countries, Dr. Job, put medical records online, and has it been effective?
Yeah. There are about a dozen countries that are actually pretty far ahead of us. And they're mostly, as you might imagine, high-income countries like Finland, Australia, a lot of other Western European countries. And they've actually had a lot of success with it. They've mostly done it in the ambulatory sector, meaning in the doctor's office. Almost no one's done it in the hospital, because it's actually harder to do it in the hospital. But that said, there's very good evidence from these countries that even though it was hard, and even though there were real challenges, that they've reaped the benefits of doing it.
This is On Point. I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, we're talking about the pros and cons of switching to electronic medical records. I'm joined by Dr. Ashish Jha, Associate Professor of Health Policy and Management at Harvard School of Public Health. He's also a staff physician at the Boston VA and Brigham and Women's Hospital, and with Dr. Jennifer Brule from Plainville, Kansas, family medicine physician with a solo practice. She put her medical records online. Dr. Jha, tell us about this experiment at the VA, because it was an important one for the government and perhaps a model for a broader electronic healthcare records system in this country.
Sure. You know, the VA actually has been a leader in this. They did this about a dozen years ago when very few people were even thinking about electronic records. And it is really a remarkable system. I use it every day that I'm in the hospital practicing, I use it. I have patients who come to see me in the hospital who were seen the previous week in a hospital in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and I can pull up their medical record. And there's very good evidence that the electronic record is part of a broader set of reforms that the VA launched about 10 years ago, has really transformed the VA healthcare system and made it far more effective, far safer than most of the private sector.
In what ways has it not worked?
Well, you know, it's a good question. Which ways has it not worked? Well,
are there any?
I think the electronic record has actually worked pretty well. I mean, as a practicing clinician in the VA, I don't really see much in the way of downsides of the system. It's far better than any paper-based hospital that I've ever worked in. So I don't see any obvious glaring problems with it.
Are there issues of patients, especially at the VA, maybe those who have served overseas in the military, who are concerned about having their records online in a public forum where they might be judged or otherwise that information might be used against them in some way?
Sure. There are a couple of issues. I mean, one is, first of all, like Dr. Brull, and her system, the VA system is extremely secure in the sense that you have to jump through a lot of hoops to be able to access it, and it's not easy. And I, as a clinician who practice there, sometimes if I forget one of my five passwords, it can be a real challenge in terms of accessing the system. So it's not like it's just available online and anybody can Google it and find it. I've heard very little in the way of concerns from veterans. Most of the concerns around electronic records in the VA really have to do with making sure that the VA's electronic record system talks to the Department of Defense's electronic record system. Mm-hmm. That's been a challenge. And for veterans who come back from Afghanistan or Iraq, their records should seamlessly flow to the VA, and we haven't been able to pull that off yet.
Let's go to the line of calls. Start with them here on my screen. Kathleen is first up from Laura, South Carolina. Kathleen, welcome to On Point. I appreciate you waiting.
Hi, Jane. Thanks so much.
You bet.
I have some experience with this.
Okay.
When an electronic order entry system was brought online at the hospital that I worked at, I'm an RN, and there was a lot of initial resistance by the staff and by the doctors, mostly older people who didn't have real computer savvy. But the benefits soon outweighed the resistance. I mean, people, you know, what you find and what I found was that you had a big decrease in the chance for transcription errors, which is always a problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the old days, the physician would write the order down on paper. You'd have to fax it to the pharmacy or send it to the pharmacy and then send, you know, orders all over the hospital to X-ray or whatever by hand. Now all that stuff happens electronically. The order goes, whatever the medication is, goes straight to the pharmacist who checks it, shows up on the electronic record, which is checked at the bedside by the nurse administering the medication. And I've seen several incidents where you know, errors have been made that would have been prevented had these systems been in place. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a wonderful idea, and from a patient safety angle, you know, one of the best innovations that's been mm-hmm. brought forth in the last 20 years or so.
Kathleen, I appreciate your call. Thank you. Charlie is now on the line from Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. Hi, Charlie. Welcome.
Hi, June. Hi. Thank you for letting me on.
You bet.
I have a couple points. I mean, I'm a cancer patient, and mm-hmm. I have to say I appreciate the fact that sometimes my medical records follow me around. But I also, in my job, work with unions in the healthcare industry through the Labor Extension Program at UMass Lowell.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to bring up a comment that Dr. Jha said about that our healthcare system is full of problems. And I think the idea that we're now spending billions of dollars to automate what many people call a broken system doesn't really make sense. To put the $19 billion in the stimulus package for electronic medical records prior to having the discussion about what healthcare reform should really look like, and the discussion about the VA, I think, is really relevant. The VA, unlike the rest of our system, is a single system, and the electronic medical record system at the VA was built from the bottom up. The systems that are being implemented in most other healthcare settings now are top-down.
Mm.
The workforce, the healthcare providers have very little say in what the system looks like. There are a lot of complaints about the design of the systems, the user interface,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As well as the hardware that people use. And also the impacts on the healthcare workforce are not really part of the conversation. So there's a lot missing in this implementation. Again, I would say as a patient, I'm someone who would like to see my medical record electronic, but I think we're going about this in a very wrong way.
Mm. Charlie, let me have Dr. Jha respond.
Yeah, Charlie brings up a bunch of excellent points that I don't actually disagree with, but let me disagree on one subtle but important part of this, which is I agree with Charlie that if all we do is electronic records and nothing else, we will have automated a broken system and made it happen more quickly, but it basically haven't fixed the underlying issues. This is why I was actually so pleased to see that it was David Blumenthal who was named as the health IT czar, because Dr. Blumenthal is not an IT techie guy.
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor. He is somebody who understands the healthcare system better than anybody else I know, and understands the broader policy issues. And my sense is that by picking Dr. Blumenthal, what the Obama administration is signaling is that they think health IT is really important, but it's really important as a part of a broader fix. And it goes hand in hand. We can't fix the healthcare system without IT, but IT alone won't fix the healthcare system. Hmm. I think people get it, and hopefully that's the approach they're going to take.
Let me bring another voice into the conversation now. Joining me from Washington, D.C. is Deborah Peel. She's a practicing psychiatrist and founder of Patient Privacy Rights, which is a consumer health privacy watchdog group. Dr. Peel, thanks for being with us. I appreciate your time.
Oh, you're welcome.
How do you see this debate of medical records, electronic medical records?
Well, patient privacy rights and most Americans are in favor of all of the benefits that health technology can bring, but they're very concerned that the systems be built in a trusted way so that health information cannot be used as it is today for purposes that have nothing to do with improving health, such as by employers to discriminate against employees, by banks to discriminate against people in decisions about credit, and by insurers. So our big issue is making sure that smart technologies that keep people in control of their most sensitive data are wired into these systems from the start.
I read that you were at a conference recently in the Midwest where technology experts were talking about how easy it is to get into medical records. I mean, how do you ensure that that doesn't happen? How do you ensure that that technology is in place moving forward?
Well, what they were talking about and what we were talking about is, and the public doesn't really know this, is most of the hospital systems allow all employees to see all of the hundreds of thousands or millions of patient records. Only a few hospitals have what's known as role-based access, where, let's say, the doctors see all the information, but the clerks who admit you see only limited information about billing and so forth. Mm-hmm. So what we have are systems that were built really without regard to Americans' longstanding rights to the privacy of this sensitive information. So, you know, we have these old systems that really don't anymore permit people to control access to their records, and we have to, there are technical fixes, and we have to use them.
Hmm. Let's go back to the phones now. I've got to get more of these callers in. Mark is first from Hartford, Connecticut. Hi, Mark. Welcome. Thank you.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Uh-huh.
My concern here, and you know, I do think that automation of these records is a wonderful thing. Both of my parents are in cancer treatment. They have loads of doctors who need to coordinate, and giving them that ability would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. But I am concerned about privacy. I'm concerned that hackers are just always one step ahead of the IT security guys. Mm-hmm. And I think the only way to keep a system truly secure is to remove the profit motive of hacking the system. Mm. I think as a step toward a national health program with a single-payer system, digitized records are an important step. But I think without the follow-through in making a unified not-for-profit system, it opens the door to a lot of mischief. Mm.
Mark, thank you. Dr. Peel, would you respond?
I would love to. Your caller is absolutely right that a single-payer system where some of the profit of taking away, selling, and using health information against Americans is important. But as a psychiatrist and practicing psychoanalyst, I have to tell you there are many kinds of medical information that are extremely sensitive that even if there is a single-payer, will cause people to discriminate against you. And see, the problem really isn't in today's system hackers. That is one problem. But the other problem is that 4 million providers, that's doctors, health plans, hospitals, pharmacies, can use your information for any business purpose. That means not related to your health care. And so single payer, you're right, would go a long way toward preventing abuse of our sensitive information, but it's not going to go the whole way because there are always going to be illnesses that people are afraid mm-hmm. of. And as a child mm-hmm. of someone with two parents with cancer, unless you control the data, your own data and their data, then you'll be discriminated against because your parents mm-hmm. have cancer.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Jha, tell us how many hospitals and doctors are actually doing this across the country, because I know many hospitals especially, and doctors too, are expressing concern about the cost of this.
Yeah.
At a time when many are struggling to remain solvent, they just don't have the capital. So even with federal incentives and stimulus money, is this practical?
Right. No, that's a good question. It's actually probably the biggest barrier to digitizing electronic records. So the answer is that about less than 10% of American hospitals have an electronic record, and less than 20% of doctors in their offices, about 17%, have an electronic record. And it just says that for a vast majority of people, this has not been something that they have been willing and able to take on. And all the surveys suggest that the biggest issue is money. These systems are expensive. Dr. Brell actually talked about $50,000 to $60,000. That's about right for what it costs a single physician. Most doctors don't have that kind of money lying around. For a hospital, it could cost $20, $50, even $100 million to do this right.
And so for President Obama to set forth a timetable, it wants this done by 2014, I mean, is that realistic? Are we all rolling our eyes here?
I'm not rolling my eyes, but I think it's an extremely ambitious plan. Now, no one has accused this president of not being ambitious. He clearly wants to get a bunch of things done, and I think that this is a very, very challenging deadline to meet.
Another couple of calls here. Larry is in Buffalo, New York. Hi, Larry. Welcome.
Yes. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
I'm also not so concerned about privacy, but more concerned about when are patients going to have a direct input into this electronic records. Here in Western New York, there seem to be regional nonprofit networks established with, I believe, state and maybe even federal funding that don't seem to be accountable to the public and take input from patients as to what they want to see as far as patients being able to access their records or access records on behalf of their families when they're their caregivers. Simple thing like the HIPAA form. Why can't I have one HIPAA form work across all of my health care providers instead of having to file it with all the different providers?
Good question, Larry. Dr. Brule, would you respond?
I think that absolutely we're starting to see people like Google who are branching out into an online health record. I'm interested in that. And I think that a lot of vendors, the one that I'm with also included, offer what's called the patient portal, which is a secure web portal where patients can go and they can get emails from me, they can review their lab results, they can make appointments online. And I think that's a tremendous benefit and something that I as a patient would like, and I think a lot of my patients who are surprisingly tech savvy would be very interested in. So again, and some of this is, you know, we talk about we should make a plan first, and I think that some of it is you have to do it before you can figure out what you need. When I bought an EHR, I had no idea what I was doing. Luckily, I wound up with one I like, but I liken it to trying to buy a new car before you know how to drive. And I think until you get about 6 months in, you don't know whether you got a good one or a lemon.
Jane, there's something I'd like to add. This
yes, Dr. Peel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it would be important for Larry and your listeners to know that he now will have a right to get electronic copies of all his health information. That's one of the new rights and protections that was put into the stimulus package. So that should get much easier for everyone, getting copies of records.
Dr. Jha, wrap us up here and explain to us, we're at the very beginning of this process, really, practically speaking. Where are we now? Where do we need to be?
Sure. So I think it is important to understand where we are now. Right now, we have a healthcare system that's too expensive, shuts 50 million Americans out, provides inadequate quality of care, and is not very consumer-friendly. I mean, you can't access paper-based records. You can't access information. And if there are errors in there, it's very hard for patients to read the handwriting and figure out that there are errors. So the current situation is untenable. And we clearly need to move in the direction of digitizing records. I don't think there's any reasonable debate about that. What we're seeing is a lot of people expressing important concerns about making sure that we're doing this and keeping privacy at the top of our minds, making sure that these systems aren't introducing new errors, and really transforming the healthcare system into the kind of care that Americans deserve.
Really interesting discussion. Many thanks to my guests, Dr. Ashish Jha, Professor of Medicine, Associate Professor of Health Policy and Management at Harvard's Medical School and School of Public Health. Dr. Jha, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane.
Dr. Jennifer Bruhl from Plainville, Kansas, family medicine physician. Thank you very much for your time, doctor.
I had a wonderful time.
Thank you. And Dr. Deborah Peel, former founder and director of the Patient Privacy Rights Consumer Health Privacy Watchdog Group. Doctor, thanks to you.
You're welcome.
You can continue the conversation, listeners. Get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us also on Twitter. Find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm Jane Clayson, in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.